I did actually take a look at that last year. I did not take a look at it this year.
Yeah, that I didn't know this happened last year, so this is the first time seeing it. And now they're using Harry Carey to do Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
No.
Oh my God, they have a hologram of it doing it. Oh, that was creepy. It looked like that, what the hell is that movie? The Christmas movie. Tom Hanks, The Train.
Oh.
Polar Express.
Oh. I was going to say, well, Big is kind of set at Christmas.
That's crazy. Oh, no, it's the Cubs. I'm sorry. It's not the Twins.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I mean, all right, that makes sense. So, all right.
Yeah, makes it interleague play. It makes it.
Oh, that is weird, man. They did not capture that at all. He didn't have like the booze shakes going on or any of that stuff. Whatever. Did you know that WGN, the station, is gone? They used to carry all the Cubs games?
No.
Yeah, it's called News Nation.
Oh, when did that happen?
I don't know. I looked it up and I already forgot. Because I was like, hey, whatever happened to WGN? Because the Tigers were playing the White Sox. I was like, oh, they started playing White Sox games on there. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to check it out. No. It's now called News Nation.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that station in about roughly 15 years.
Yeah, I think the last time I thought about that station was when, didn't they have superstars? WWE superstars? Because remember they had Matt Hardy versus The Undertaker as like the main event on the first show?
Yeah.
I think that was superstars.
They might have.
And then immediately it just turned into nothing, so.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. But
just like everything. Yeah, every other rando program that WWE put somewhere.
True. Because it became WGN America after that. No, during that. Yeah, because they were like one of the flagship shows of when they launched as WGN America and got rid of all of like the local Chicago program.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I used to come home from school and you'd see, I watch a Cubs game all the time.
Yeah.
They were a staple of cable TV, just like the Braves and on TBS all the time.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Braves, well, especially since the Pirates were in that vicinity a lot of the times. I watched a lot of WGN and a lot of TBS for baseball-related reasons.
Yeah. I remember when we got our cable station or cable provider. I can't remember who was it in Ohio? Cox? Whatever, it's not important. But they got WOR out of New York, so you could watch the Mets games. And then the goofiest thing down here is it's now called Bally's Sports. I guess Bally's bought
a lot of them.
All like the local affiliates?
Well, yeah, depending. Because they bought it here in Ohio, but I'm trying to remember who. Oh, AT&T is running the Pittsburgh area one.
Oh, that's weird.
Yep. It's AT&T Sports.
Yeah, that's really weird. But they that just threw me for a loop. I'm like, what the hell is AT&T doing? Anyway. So down here, before it was Fox Sports, like whatever region, we would get Fox Sports Ohio and Fox Sports South down here. And I was like, what the hell is this? And then I'd be able to watch the Reds. But this is when I moved to Charlotte.
Oh.
Charlotte's only an hour closer to Cincinnati. Like I think it's an hour closer. I'm not sure how that works anymore. But I'm like, this is bizarre. And then they like, so if they played the Braves, they would actually preempt the Braves games for sports for Sports Time Ohio or whatever the hell it was called.
Oh, yes.
So the Reds, I'm like,
well, the Reds were always on Fox Sports. The Indians were the ones because they didn't have a market here in station here in Columbus. They kind of created Sports Time Ohio to carry that type of stuff here. But then obviously that did grow. Like it's. And it's back to just the Bally. Well, they have Bally Sports 1 and 2. So that now that they're. Since there is always Blue Jackets, Cavaliers, and not usually the Reds at that point. But. Oh, and Columbus Crew all share Fox Sports Ohio. So they now have. Or not Fox Sports, Bally Sports Ohio.
What a weird assortment. Well, I mean, I guess there are. You don't get the Indians then?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Indians and Reds too, then during baseball season. Right. So that's the other reason why it's two stations.
Yeah, I forgot the Indians changed their name to the Guardians.
Oh.
And the Tigers were playing. I'm like, who the fuck are the Guardians? I'm like, oh. Oh, that's right.
Clearly I forgot that they're the Guardians now.
Yeah. Well, I'm still getting used to, was it the Washington Commanders?
You know what? I would not have had a problem. I was starting to dig. I'm like, hey, I like Washington football team. Like, let's just stick
with
I
had no problem with that.
I'm like, let's stick with the basics here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at soccer teams or whatever, like yeah. Charlotte FC, Charlotte Football Club, why not just Washington?
Yep. I was like, yeah, this sense. Is, yeah, at first I'm like, man, that's a weird choice. But then I'm like, man, this is kind of growing on me. Like, I could dig this.
Yeah, just a W. I mean, big, strong, bold letters, or bold letter, excuse me, not letters, but
yeah,
you knew who it was.
Yeah.
Oh, well, who the Carolina Panthers playing? Washington. Okay. Easy. No, I still like the idea, and I know it could never happen because it's just stupid, to be honest, but I like the idea of them changing the Redskins to the Potato. I just thought it'd be funny, and I'm sure no one else would think it was a cool joke, but just for one season, just change all the logos and that to a potato. I mean, we have minor league baseball teams have the coolest names, and they have their merchandise is great.
Oh,
so why not?
The one old Cincinnati baseball team was the Porkopolitans.
Okay.
I say yeah, exactly. The wife has a shirt of it. I'm like, yeah, like why does this not happen once a season at least? Why is this not a throwback jersey?
Yeah. Yeah, like Charlotte here, they're the White Sox affiliate, so I'm all automatically like, eh. But they got some cool-ass merchandise. So, like, because we're always under construction, they actually had, like, jerseys that had, like, a built-in, like, orange reflect vest. It didn't reflect, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And then they had, like, traffic cones. Well, that's my orange and white hat, is the barbecue sandwich with a baseball bat.
Oh.
Because they were the Charlotte Smoke Pit or something like that.
Oh.
The Charlotte Pitmasters for a game. A series.
Oh.
And then they do the one for like Hispanic Night or whatever. And they're the Caballeros. And then they have another one where they're like animated, so that's where I got my dragon hat from. Like their merch is cool as hell. So I'm like, cool, I'm never buying a White Sox hat. And if it even looks like the White Sox, I'm not buying it. But the other stuff, hell yeah. So having a team called just Washington, and then every once in a while, do a throwback or do something goofy. The NFL, you know, not a fun league anyways. But could at least on something. And this would never happen, but you've seen those shirts that are the Washington colors, and it says Caucasians.
Oh. Yeah.
That'd be badass if they did that. I don't think you could get away with it. I guess. Oh. I don't know. It's not offensive. It's just kind of, it's kind of like, it's kind of like a middle finger, which is, I'm always, obviously always for. But I just think it'd be hilarious if they did that. Like, yeah, okay. I mean, get a new owner who has like a sense of actual, you know, decency and wherewithal. Be like, all right, we're gonna throw this out there and make some fucking money off of it too. Let all these people think they're sticking it to the man, and you're like, cool. Thanks, you just made us more millions of dollars off of it. Market, get and exploit people. It's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Killed to open a gay bakery next door to a bakery that wouldn't sell a cake to a gay person. You know how much money you'd make? Oh.
A lot. Don't care.
Yeah. The club won't let black people in. Open it next door. Come on in. I'll brick all the money in and sell that thing high. Yeah, I got no problem. That'd be great.
Oh boy. Do you want to talk some wrestling on this this year podcast?
Yeah, because I think Jon Moxley just bladed on his way to the bathroom. Jesus Christ! You had like, all right. Dynamite was fine. It was a good show. I really got into the last match because who knows they were going to pull a fast one, have it be Jericho win for whatever reason. But the first match, Brody King is bleeding within 7 seconds.
Oh.
And then the same thing goes for the main event. Like, that spot with the earring was like, oh my god. Like, I don't think he really pulled it out, but his ear was bleeding like crazy.
Oh. Yeah, ears do bleed quite easily. I unfortunately know from experience.
You do.
Something stupid.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it's like no one ever intentionally. Oh, you feel bad, but you're bleeding.
Yeah, like whatever I did to myself wasn't horrific enough to be like stuck in my data bank of major injuries that I have accrued over my life. But I know that it's happened, and it's not fun. You know, probably got slapped upside the head or something. You know, maybe. Took a baseball to the side of the head. That's always a possibility.
Yeah, or something innocuous, and you're like, what? Like, I still wake up, and I've got, like, scrapes that are cut on me. And at least like, what happened? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably did yesterday. You beat the shit out of me. So, but yeah, no, but I don't know. I'm just tired of everyone in AEW bleeding.
Uh-oh.
It doesn't mean anything. At all. Jericho apparently got busted open the hard way at the end of the match. He legit hit his head on the turnbuckle.
Well, you can almost always tell the difference between a legit cut and a not legit cut. Like, yeah, when they're faking it, it still is just like, guys, like, at this point, it's making it less gruesome to me because I'm just going, I know you don't bleed that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you ever see the movie Dead Alive?
Oh, yeah.
Peter Jackson. At the end, where the guy's got the lawnmower and just mowing down, like, zombies all the time?
Yes.
The scene's hilarious, first off. And second, it starts off like, oh, God. And by the end of it, there's so much gore, you're just like, okay. Like, it doesn't even register anymore.
Well, it gets into parody at some point, and you're just laughing.
Oh, yeah. But I'm like, it's like, that's what Moxley seems like he's doing.
Oh.
He bleeds in every fucking match. Every one. I mean, at least acknowledge it. You've got like paper. You got paper skin or something. Make an angle of it instead of. He just likes to cut himself.
It will be interesting, I suppose, if they're smart enough to have that cost him a match at some point. I'm not sure that it's necessarily going to cost him against CM Punk per se.
That was a cool surprise last night because they've kind of. They kind of kept him quiet, I guess. But then when he started making appearances without a crutch or limping around, like, he may be ready to come back.
Yeah, that one definitely seemed like a on the shorter side of injuries from Jump Street. Like, I felt like it was, like, supposed to be, like, just a couple of months or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it, but, yeah, I do like the seemingly quiet nature of returns for AEW in general. Just because I just seen a lot of scuttlebutt about MJF again recently. Everyone's like freaking out because they haven't heard anything right now. I'm like, hey, that's not a bad thing. Like, I don't need this surprise to be spoiled. Let him pop up like CM Punk did, and let me be none the wiser. Have at it, man.
Well, hell, I mean, even WWE's done a very good job of that. When they don't want you knowing someone's coming back, you don't know.
Oh.
Like, no one had any idea Bayley was coming back at SummerSlam. No one said anything. No one knew Dakota Kai was coming back, period. No one knew that, I almost said Kairi Sane.
Io Sky.
I was trying to say her new name. I got tongue-tied. Io Sky got her main roster deal. So that was cool, like, genuine, oh my god, what just happened here moment.
Yeah.
And then even Friday, with Karrion Kross coming out of nowhere, like, whoa. Now, if you read, like, Reddit or whatever, there were rumblings that he wanted, like, Triple H was interested in bringing him back. And boom, there he is with Scarlett.
No.
So it doesn't matter, like, what you think of him, but it's like they do a pretty good job when they don't want you knowing. You don't know.
I don't know if Vince was running a leaky ship or if all this stuff for Triple H has just come together so quick it's been easy to hide.
Well, I guess WWE usually keeps them in, because I know they did this with Bayley and them. They kept them in a bus or something.
Oh.
And then they came out when it was time for them. Like, apparently, Kevin Dunn must have known and Triple H, I guess.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah. So, but in, like, the Edge return, no one knew Edge was coming back.
Yeah, that was one that was at least foreshadowed with the videos.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I meant when he came back for Rumble.
Rumble, yeah.
Yeah. Same with Christian, and I know that was in a different era, like not Performance Center, the Thunderdome era, when he came back, that was still pretty, oh no, that wasn't Thunderdome, was it? That was a live crowd. Yeah, that's right, because then he came and showed up in AEW a few months later. So, but anyways, yeah, I like when they keep the stuff under wraps, to where, like, you know, even guys who are, like, in the industry, reporting, whatever, getting insider stuff, that even they're like, I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, it's fun when they even slide stuff past them, which, you know, I know that it can't happen all the time. It is a nice little surprise to have every now and again, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious Kenny Omega's coming back.
Hey. Yeah, I guess especially with the Adam Page turning down the Young Bucks, no Hung Bucks for the Trios tournament.
Yeah, and I liked his reasoning. He wasn't a dick about it, but he was like, hey, look, these guys have been with me. You guys weren't. So, you know, I already made a commitment to them. I can't.
No.
It's like, all right. I liked that segment, and it's like, all right, well, it's got to be Kenny Omega then. So, it's, you know, another guy's been oddly quiet again.
Like, he's kind of similar to Bayley. It seems like, well, it does seem like one of those things that there is still a little bit of a shroud of secrecy over Kenny Omega's injury. Bayley's, it seemed like she was ready to come back prior to now. It just seemed like when was going to be the moment.
Yeah, because I mean, Bianca and Becky were tied up, and Ronda was tied up with Charlotte, and then Natalya, I guess. But you don't want Bayley. I mean, I said it on here. I thought Bayley was coming back as a face. Boy, she's really good. People are booing her. So,
yeah.
Kudos to her.
Her main roster run as a heel has been something else.
Oh yeah, it's been fantastic. And
yep.
But then like, I even said, like, we were texting, I'm like, I still love the time that Sasha was such a bitch to her. Bayley finally had enough, beat the hell out of her.
No.
And it was like, no, she's in the right. Like, she's beating the hell out of her because Sasha was a bitch the whole time. And then the next week they made up or something. Oh no, didn't they go to couples counseling?
Yeah, it was
yeah,
not
it
good.
Was like, what?
It
like,
ruined some good momentum that kind of needed to happen there.
Yeah, that turned Bayley face when it was supposed to turn her heel.
No.
You know, it just
yeah.
Like how, remember we were supposed to boo Becky with the whole Charlotte thing way back?
Oh.
And everyone's like, no. This story doesn't make sense for us to boo her. It's like, no, we're not doing this. And they had no choice. So, but to go back to AEW, though, since I mentioned this, Omega, but.
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't been on, so I haven't been able to complain, but that opening match was fun. It was really cool. Like, that big man, little man stuff, especially with a ping pong ball like Darby Allin. That's great stuff. And Brody King is a scary dude. Jesus Christ. Like, have you seen his band, God's Hate?
I have heard his band. I have not seen them.
He's a monster on stage. Like, he's the singer.
Yes. I was aware of that.
Yeah, he's like 6'6", tatted out the ass, and just screaming. Not screaming, growling, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, okay, sir. Like, I was impressed with him the times I saw him live. I thought he was great. So it's cool to see him doing stuff, but I honestly thought that when they opened the coffin, it was going to be Miro.
Oh.
Because of his problems with, and it was Sting, and he just stands there, and I'm like,
it's
what is
Sting.
This? Yeah, all right, cool. And then what they should have done, he should have got back in the coffin, and that was it. It was so dumb. Enough. Who thinks this is good?
The crowd.
Watches this back and goes, this is good. No, it's not.
I do not understand why the crowd enjoys it, but people pop for that. And like every time I just go, I don't understand what's going on here. Like, it's not like I appreciate Sting for, you know, still wrestling in his mid-60s. Like, he's not adding anything. Like, I don't get it. I really don't get it, because people are loving his dives too. Like, it's been one of those things that I'm just like, I am so confused. Just utterly confused with.
I understand the pop because, okay, whenever someone's in the coffin, they get a pop. Sting is beloved. I get it. And that's where it ends. Then he slowly gets out of the coffin. Like, I'm like, Buddy Matthews is like a fucking moron. Just standing there going, do you need help out, Papa? Like, then he just stands there. And then Buddy Matthews raises his arms like, you're supposed to hit me. And then Sting hit him. And I purposely didn't say anything because that's how fucking long it took. Buddy Matthews could ram to the top of the ramp. And the amount of time it took Sting to have the wherewithal, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be doing something here. Enough of this bullshit.
Yeah, and that's why he's tough. And I guess that's why I don't get the love of him. Like, if he wants to come out every now and again, cool. When he's supposed to be saving someone from a... Was it just 3-on-1 beatdown? 4-on-1?
Yeah, he would walk to the ring.
I guess 3 plus, what, Julia Hart is there. She caused the distraction. So she was at least out there. But yeah, beatdown's really only 3 people. It's just like, I need more than Sting to operate this thing.
Yeah, I guess that's a big problem I have with AEW in general, is the amount of pause and the amount of repetitive things that they do that no one calls them out on. How many times, I think I've actually mentioned this about Rey Mysterio as well, how many times is Penta going to have his goddamn mask ripped off?
Oh.
How many times? Now, they had a backup, which I thought was clever, and I thought it was even more clever that, was it Rush or was it Andrade? Threw it into the crowd. That was great.
Oh, yeah. I did laugh that they had to have, of course, a Lucha Rules match so that we could at least get around the AEW charade that is a tag team division.
Yeah. Yeah, and the match was good, except for like the grandstanding, but it was like, oh, this is a Lucha match. It's always clearly choreographed spots. They have to stand around and wait for the guy to jump on you instead of just walking to the side.
It has a little bit of that Sting effect sometimes, where you just see the guy waiting for the move to happen.
Yeah, and you can't use the excuse that, well, they were surprised that they're jumping on him. You've seen this how many times? So a guy at the top rope looking at you, you're like, oh, he's going to jump on me, and you move. The best ever is still Samoa Joe. He doesn't let people do that to him.
Oh.
If someone gets on the top rope, he's like, oh, he waits till they jump, he just walks to the side and lets them hit the ground. Which is what everybody should be doing. Until you can actually get the timing down correctly. But my complaining is wrapped in the fact I enjoyed the matches. Rush is an animal.
Oh.
That shot, like, I can't remember what it was called, but that drop kick to Phoenix? I'm like, what did he do to you, man?
The horn, I don't know if he calls it the horn of the bull.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, because when I saw him, he pulled that out in his first match that he had in ROH. I was just like, oh, that is nasty looking, man.
I can see why WWE was interested in him. But I can also see why he'd be a pain, because he doesn't like selling stuff.
But oh. Yeah,
in that
he,
match, no one sold anything. So.
He's a little more suited for AEW.
Yeah, but he's a badass. I can't say I'm that familiar with him. So to see him and like actually like really let go, to me this was like the first match I could actually say I saw a Rush match.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
He'd face somebody else, but okay.
I've seen a handful. Just because he was champ in ROH for a little bit there, but I also know that I wasn't watching pay-per-views, so I never saw a pay-per-view match of his. And I believe that he was injured somewhat early in his title reign, and that really kind of slowed things down. Plus, I think might have been right around pandemic era too, where ROH shut down.
Because he came back, didn't PCO beat him?
At some point PCO beat him, because I did remember they did actually have that exchange on TV. I don't think they showed the whole match, but they at least showed enough of it to show the PCO win. Yeah, so, his title reign was a little bit uneven there. I did really like him, though, from pretty much from Jump Street.
I think he has a cool look too. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Now another thing I noticed, Andrade was moving really slow. Like he was getting to his spots, but it was like the in between. He wasn't moving real fast. I was like, is he injured or blown up or what the hell's going on here? Like Phoenix and Penta have no problem. I mean, those guys are all over the place.
Right.
And also, I was very happy that there were very minimal Zero Pero things.
Oh, yeah, he has really cut back on that quite a bit. Yeah,
it's stupid.
Yeah, because...
Stand there doing it, kick him.
I guess I think... I don't think if Andrade is a lucha wrestler. Like, even when he was able to do whatever he kind of wanted to do in NXT, he didn't strike me. Like, even Roosh kind of has a different moveset than most lucha people that I would think of, like, straight off the top of my head. Like, to me, yeah, you kind of automatically go more Rey Mysterio than even Eddie Guerrero became more grounded in the WWE. But yeah, like you kind of think of the high-flying style, and Roosh doesn't really have that. But you can also, to me, like you see the influence of Lucha on his wrestling more than I see it with Andrade.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I'm not saying WWE was right because they're clearly, Triple H is clearly bringing his people that he wants or can back. No. But it's like, with Andrade, I'm like, it doesn't seem like his AEW run has been all that great. I don't know if it's booking or like in-ring. I really don't remember anything memorable he's done.
Yeah, he is 100% on my list of, is this guy really any better off in AEW than he was in the WWE? I think it's been a combination of all those things. Things just have not seemed to go smoothly for him. And he's been featured a lot. I still don't really get a good character vibe out of him, though, still. Well, like,
because they came up with that goofy, like, his thing, and then merged it with the Hardy family thing, whatever.
Yeah, and that's why I definitely think that there's at least part of it that's been booking. That's just like, what is going on here? Like, yeah, why was that ever a thing? Like,
we need to just do a analyzing booking anyways, because the decisions that they make are actually getting called out by other wrestlers. Moxley had a interim world championship match with Mance Warner. Why? Or that Takeshita guy. Apparently WWE's trying to get now because he's not signed with by AEW. Why? It makes no sense.
Didn't Warner win something though to get a match? But even
he won something that was totally separate. He won the Bunkhouse Battle Royal at that Ric Flair's last match. Who Ric Flair's already saying I shouldn't have called it my last match.
Oh my god.
So, yeah.
Yep. Not buying the next one either.
Dude, did you listen to that show with Chris and I?
No.
I can't do it again, but it's, you know, I don't like nostalgia. I just don't. And it was so sad. It was just sad. And I honestly thought he was going to die. Like, I'm not exaggerating. You know, not over the top. There were times that even Elise was like, is he okay? I'm like, I don't know. And then it comes out that he passed out twice during the match. because he was dehydrated, because he was out drinking the whole time, and then decided, well, I want to be under a certain weight, so he wasn't, like, drinking water or Gatorade or anything like that. Passes out twice during the match. Literally, his hand is shaking as Andrade is trying to put brass knuckles on him. He puts a figure four on Jeff Jarrett, which is more like Jeff Jarrett going, I got this, and put a figure four on himself. It was so sad. And what I told Chris, and I said I wasn't going to do it, I'm doing it anyways, but he already had a perfect retirement. We were there.
Oh.
He lost his last match to one of his friend who was, you know, who looked at Ric Flair as an idol. You had the fireworks, family crying, all this stuff sending him out on top. He lost, but he's still going on top. The next night in Miami, all of his peers, his actual peers, show up. Send him off into the sunset, the hero, the icon, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
This time he's done. He's a bloody mess. He can barely talk because he's so out of breath. He's surrounded by a bunch of GCW wrestlers. Sad. I mean, it's just sad. So, but anyways, going back to it, no, Vance Warren didn't win shit.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought that Bunkhouse Brawl match at the Ric Flair had some, just because AEW has worked with outside companies. For some reason, I thought that his win in that match got him the title match against Moxley, like per contract for some weird reason. I suppose I'm wrong, though.
Yeah, no, they never explained it, at least not that I remember. But it's like the booking in AEW does not make sense. How they treat their championships, how they do anything, like, who are the tag champs right now? Oh my god.
Do you really not know?
Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, right?
No.
Who'd they lose to?
The Young Bucks.
Not the Young Bucks. No, Young Bucks aren't the champions.
Well,
Young Bucks lost to somebody. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland.
Yep. There you go. There you go.
Got there fine. Okay. So those guys are having a tag team championship match against somebody on Dynamite. I'm sorry, on Rampage. Why? Nothing makes sense. Like they've kind of got, like they still, and I know this is old. I know it's old, but they still bring up the rankings of the tag team, and they even brought up the ranking for the women for Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm. And those two morons are acting like, you know, no, actually the moron's Toni Storm, unless she's going to turn. You know, I wish there was another way you could have gone about this. I'm really sorry about that, you know. And Thunder Rosa says, no, we're just going to fight. Don't worry about it. What are you apologizing for?
Yeah.
And then, Madison Rayne, who has had two total matches in AEW, it's a TBS championship match against Jay Cargo in her second match? What are we doing?
Now, that, for some reason, her match for sure that she won. Oh, no. They had her. That's right. Did she beat? Oh, she beat someone that was a baddie tryout. And
yeah, the one that they don't like. Yeah.
Yeah, the one that they don't like. So, I mean, at least there was. To me, there is a storyline reason for that match, for sure. Now,
Jade got pissed and was like, no, I'm not letting someone else new come in here. So it's like, I saw a challenge you to a championship match. What?
Yes. Yeah. That she shouldn't be challenging people. But it's still like another one of those things where it's really weird where they're keeping Jade Cargill in this other universe.
Yeah, it was weird seeing her on Dynamite because she's always on Rampage now.
Oh,
so
yeah,
but yeah,
she's been well, and I don't in some ways, I don't mind that, that they've kept a little bit of a segregation of who's on what program. And I do feel like, you know, rounding back to the tag team stuff, that Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland have been on Rampage more than they've been on Dynamite.
I like your choice of words for the three people you just listed.
Yeah, well, whatever.
That's so great. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh, please keep going.
Yeah, I was
who cares?
I was everyone thinking about my words, but it's, but A, yeah, they haven't, you know, it's not like there's the SmackDown and Raw rosters, but I do feel like that they've kind of kept rosters on each show for AEW or something close to it. Because like you said, like, it was kind of weird to see Jade Cargill on Dynamite this week.
Yeah.
She hasn't really been there too much.
And the other thing with that is the crowd is cheering for her. You hear the cheers, but yet they keep making her act like a heel. Even Goldberg, you know, people are like, who is this guy after a while? Even after a while, Goldberg's like, oh no, I'm a badass, and you guys love me. So I'll play the crowd and give you what you want. And it's like, they're making her out to be the female Goldberg. Well, goddamn it, do it, because that was ultra successful. And she's an incredible thing to look at.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't mean that like that, but she is gorgeous. Her body's insane. She's tall as hell. She stands out. It's like, she's a star. So go with it. Just let her acknowledge that she's getting cheered instead of going, oh, I'm doing this despite you guys. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about most of the time in that regard. Yeah. Because just because she says, cut the shit, Tony, we're not supposed to like her.
Yeah, and it's like, okay. What are you even talking about? He's doing his job. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, so
it's
yeah.
Like, it's like when Bianca Belair kept talking about how she was undefeated, and Booker T goes, that makes you delusional. It doesn't make you a badass. It makes you delusional. And it's like, he's exactly right.
Oh, when was that? Was that recently?
No, it was back when she was in NXT, and Shayna Baszler beat her.
Oh,
and she's still undefeated. He's like, no, you're not.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember that that time period.
Yeah. So, and then she tried to get around to saying it was a mindset and all this stuff, and it's like, no, you're still delusional. If you think you're undefeated in the mind, you're still lost. There's no way around this.
Yeah. This is just fact, lady. Deal with it.
Yeah. But no, and like that match wasn't good between her and Madison Rayne. Like, whatever.
Oh yeah. Well, I didn't think that. I was just like, oh, this will be interesting. Like, I'm not sure the last time. I don't know how sharp Madison Rayne is currently. But I'm just gonna say that yeah, she didn't look good on Rampage, and the match with Jade Cargill didn't do her any favors.
No, not at all.
Because this,
yeah, that's,
yeah, this is the point where I'm kind of good with Jade Cargill's, and I guess that's the other thing that I'm kind of starting to get scratch my head about. Like, I feel like Jade Cargill's kind of getting to the point where it's just like, isn't she done with this minor, you know, the undercard title for the women? Like, when are we moving up to she's going after the big title and not carrying around the interim title, you know, the secondary title?
I guess because she has her own show, that's why. And she's obviously, if you keep her matches short, she's fine. Just like Goldberg. Oh. And that's an obvious parallel, so I keep going back to it.
Right.
But remember, Goldberg's matches were short until he ran into DDP. And then after that, I mean, I think Goldberg and Kreatz like learned a lot during that match. His matches got longer after that. Well, Jade doesn't have a DDP to work with. Maybe Athena's going to do it. Maybe. But
yeah, well, that's just another story, or storyline too, that is pretty much almost entirely head scratching. Like, you've been ducking me, and I'm like, I haven't seen you in like 2 or 3 weeks, and she's out here defending her championship almost every week, at least on Rampage. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, even Jade said that. She was, as much as the girl that was helping her, now is helping her, she beat. She goes, I put an open challenge out there. Where were you? She stepped right up. Where were you? And I'm like, ixnay, because you're right. Right down. Yeah, so it's like, good lord. But no, it's just all those kind of booking decisions don't make any sense.
No.
And even Jericho, like, Moxley challenged him. Or did Jericho win something to get a title shot?
Okay, and that's what I must be mixing up Mance Warner with. Yeah, Jericho won something to get the championship match against Moxley. Because it was the previous week on Rampage. But, and it's one of those things, I feel like you and I talked about it a little while ago. AEW is putting out so many unique names for these different weekly shows that it's kind of getting lost. This week was Quake by the Lake. I think last week was technically a regular show.
Yes.
But like
the, called me on that last week.
What was it? Was it 2 or 3 weeks in a row that they were calling it Fighter Fest?
Yep.
And it's just like, yeah, like it's kind of painful to keep track of almost.
I don't know why everything has to be themed, and I mean, I guess because they only have 4 pay-per-views a year. Okay, I understand that, but it'd be every few weeks.
Yeah, you need a little more break in between, like 1 week in between a 2 to 3 week Fighter Fest and a 1 week Quake by the Lake. And it's not like nothing really felt like it was extra special. Like there wasn't, again, like there's definitely enjoyment out of the shows. But yeah, the name's not doing anything for me. It's not making me think of it any differently than a regular episode of Dynamite.
Well, I saw on Twitter, someone took me like a WWE bloopers thing, and I was like, oh, I'll check these out. Pretty funny. And I saw Steve Williams, he tweeted something about it. I was told there would be a quake and a lake, and I have seen none. It just cracked me up. It's just a smart-ass thing to say, but at the same time, okay, like, they were in Minneapolis, right?
Yes.
I think. Well, yeah, so.
Yeah, that's what they, they were referring to the many lakes of Minnesota. I was not quaking a whole lot, though, either.
I guess the quake was a seismic shift of the landscape, right off the top of my head, for CM Punk coming back.
No.
Who, rightfully, was given credit for looking like he was in pretty good shape.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, he's another one. I know that I mentioned it about Tony recently. Mr. Cesaro there, Claudio. Yes. Yeah, CM Punk, strangely, after deciding for whatever reason not to add the muscle mass in WWE, has kind of been adding it here in AEW, which is, it's a choice.
Yeah, well, he looks, I mean, he, I know he had a t-shirt on, but he did look physically bigger. And oh, that black is supposed to be slimming, too, so I don't know what he's doing. But, it, I mean, it's good. I mean, at his age, doing what he does for a living, you gotta add some padding somehow. So, you know.
Yeah.
I'd be remiss before we go to NXT. I don't want to see Sanjay Dutt or the big guy,
Satnam Singh, him,
sure, on TV anymore. It's that's cringy stuff, dude. It's cringe.
It's with Sanjay Dutt. It's like, I know that you're physically capable, I think, of wrestling still at this point, but I also know that you're not going to wrestle. So I don't really like your gimmick, I guess. And I don't think he does anything for Jay Lethal at all that Jay Lethal can't do for himself. Satnam Singh, clearly not ready. He is less ready than Omos.
Yes. Oh, what a dream match that would be. Omos and Satnam Singh. Oh. but yeah, no, that's always cringy to me. I did like how FTR came out and helped Wardlow. I thought that was interesting. Oh. And the idea that none of the announcers mentioned that they were in the Pinnacle together. No one mentioned that.
Oh.
Like, how do you mess that up?
Did JR get his entrance this week?
Or was... No, JR started the show.
Oh, okay, he started the show.
And he's cranky as shit, too. Poor Jungle Boy sits down. And he goes, well, I'm not going to be here long. And JR goes, put your damn headset on. He's like, oh, sorry, sir. Hey, JR, what are you doing? Cranky old bastard he is.
Yeah, he has turned into something else. Because, the entrance at halftime of the show most of the time recently is killing me, where he's getting the full, because I know that he got it here in Columbus, despite me not being here, I did watch the show, but yeah, he gets the full Boomer Sooner entrance,
and they said they want that to like energize the crowd and stuff.
He's another one where I'm just like, okay, this is supposed to be the hardcore wrestling audience crowd, right? Like, that's supposed to be, like, the overarching kind of thing. It's just like, why do so many of you think that JR still has something left in the tank? Like, I just sit there and I'm like, I am, like you, like, most of the stuff I laugh at from him is just from him being just full of spite and hating what he's doing.
I don't think he's hating what he's doing. I think he hates when he messes up because he's got too much pride to go, yep, mess that up. But then he does actually come back later and be like, yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, this is going on, this is going on. It's like, stop my excuses. And I messed it up. Okay, thank you. Because any time there's somebody else up, they always make jokes about how the internet will get on their case if you mess something up. Every time. It's like, Jim, you're in your 70s. What do you, and you are a millionaire. What do you care what people on the internet say? Like, you've done more in the business than people have seen on TV. Like, well, he's been involved in everything. So yeah, I wouldn't worry about it too much. Like, grow some thicker skin. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is the other thing. Like, it's just like, dude, like, you are, like, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer anywhere. Like, you don't need, like, it almost feels like he has some need to prove himself. It's just like, no, dude, you don't. Like,
yeah,
the fuck is wrong with you? Like, what is wrong with your brain that it's still saying that?
Yeah, I wonder if he's the kind that needs to be busy, because, you know, he lost his wife.
Oh.
He's getting up there in age, and you see what happens when these older guys just stop working. Bobby Bowden, I think, was sick. Joe Paterno was a fraud. It's a lot of weight to carry around your whole life. So. When they stop coaching, they're gone. I mean, they're both dead quick.
No, Bowden lasted a while.
I'd only say about a year.
No, it was longer than that.
No, never mind. I got my timeline messed up.
I was going to say, didn't he just die recently?
Yeah, last year.
Last year,
yeah. Because he's been gone for 2 years. So, yeah, never mind. I messed that one up. Somebody else.
Yeah, Paterno and that whole child fondling scandal was a little too much.
He had nothing to do with it, even though everyone told him what was going on. You know, he did his part by going, hey, something bad's going on. No one's paying attention. Okay, cool, I did my part.
I run the university, but hey, I can't get this child molester off my campus.
I have a statue of myself on campus, but I'm powerless. Oh, okay. That makes a lot of fucking sense. Idiots.
Yeah, but Jim Ross, he doesn't need to do this. I don't understand what. Like, he's in the Sting category. I just don't get why people are cheering him, like, at this point. Like, I don't want him on there. And I've actually been kind of the Taz, Schiavone, Excalibur trio's been fairly decent.
Mm-hmm. Tony Schiavone does not need to be announcing, though. He can do the backstage interviews and do whatever he does behind the scenes. He doesn't need to announce, only because he doesn't care. And it's clear. That was one thing, and I know Chris likes Tony Schiavone, so I went kind of easy. He was awful on that Ric Flair thing.
Oh.
He was terrible. He didn't care. He was there just to see Rick. He did not care about anything else that was going on. They actually went to them to, like, do, like, an actual, like, on-camera interview with somebody. And he's just sitting there, like, all slouched back with his, like, his arms crossed. He's like, well, I guess we're going to our interview segment now. Like, what kind of professionalism is that?
Well, he's not a whole lot younger than Jim Ross, is he?
I think it's gonna be 10 years in between them.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, then he should, I guess maybe I can check that out here.
Well, yeah, but no, I know it's a lot of, and it's such a dumb hill to die on, but I don't think people criticize AEW enough for the things that they do that are inconsistent and wrong. I think they get away with a lot of wrong.
5 years younger.
Oh, just five. All right. But AEW gets away with a lot of things because of the match quality, and it's not a Vince McMahon product.
And
I'm wondering.
Hey.
Oh,
awesome transition point there, sir.
Yeah. Oh, cool. But now, with Triple H in charge and clearly making changes, and we talked about this last week, they're not going to be instantaneous. And Chris was saying probably by September, end of September, before we see real change. And I said I wouldn't expect that till the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. I mean, no one's hot, except for a few people. They're still doing the same faces every week, but that's because that's what they were left with, and that was the problem before. And we were talking, there's no one in NXT you can just grab and bring up all of a sudden. I mean, you can, obviously, but put them in a positive position, no.
I like the direct, like, I understand, I guess I like slash understand the direction they took with NXT. I think that it was kind of a necessary step to kind of make their brand unique in and of itself. Like, to try and make sure the superstars came through your system.
Yeah, that's what they wanted.
And, but also, they've basically just started that. It's a good idea, but it's also a process, and I think it's going to, you know, there are a handful of guys that we've talked about in NXT that could probably go up, you know, and we've talked about them previously, and we didn't even really see one of them. Like, there was not a whole lot of Braun Breaker on this week's show.
No, or JD McDonagh, for that matter.
Yeah, they got their segment to hype the match, but that was about it.
Yeah. But it's like the people that I think should be called up, Cameron Grimes is one.
Oh.
He's listless down there. This stuff with Joe Gacy is just dumb. Like, what are we doing? I don't get where it's going. Like, he wants him to do this, and then now he's all polite, like, okay, whatever. But, like, Cameron Grimes should be on the main roster doing something.
Yeah.
I lost the other one.
Roderick Strong?
No. I think Roddy's where he needs to be, and helping out the people who do need help. The Creeds are good, don't get me wrong. They could probably be brought up to the main roster if they wanted to. But
yeah,
I kind of like the Damon Kemp edition.
Okay.
So let's just keep going with that, and then see where it goes. And then maybe those three come up and, you know, Roddy gets released because that's what he wanted. He wanted release a long time ago.
Well, but that is another interesting thing. Like, is Roddy okay with the creative changes? And maybe he's okay with staying now.
That's true.
I still don't... There's still a ceiling for him. And if fairly low one at that, honestly, within the WWE. Like, main roster wise, I still don't see him as much more than a tag team champion if they decide to go that route.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he is in a pretty decent spot. So, who, if it was not Roderick Strong, would you? And I guess this leads into another one that segments that I've enjoyed. The sit down segments between Tony D'Angelo and Santos Escobar. Do you think Mr. Escobar could be on his way up to the main roster?
Part of me thinks it's too obvious. And he doesn't need to be in NXT. He needs to be on the main roster. I said that a year ago. Vince McMahon wanted his Rey Mysterio. You've got him. And he speaks better English. Which is kind of stupid because Rey speaks fine English. But he has an accent where Escobar has slowly gotten rid of his, I've noticed. He still has it. But...
He kind of reminds me a little bit of roommate Kevin, who... occasionally does not really sound Chinese.
But yeah, I either way, I can see it going one of two ways. The surprise would be him winning. He grabs the family and goes, "Well, you can still be the Donna NXT because we're going to SmackDown or wherever." And he takes them up there because the Usos need another tag team to go against. They have no one. And I know like Legado and the Phantasma's bad guys, but who cares? People cheer the Usos anyways.
Yeah, the main roster had their women's division issues solved with the arrival of this Bayley Sky Kai combination. The tag team division still in help need of some help.
Yeah, I mean they've gutted everything, so it's like, oh boy. But I there was another, damn it, there was somebody else. But like we're already seeing Triple H bring NXT people to the main roster, Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark. Like what? I honestly thought for sure. If he was going to bring women up, it was going to be Toxic Attraction. I figured that was a no-brainer.
Yeah, because I don't know about JC Jane, but definitely Gigi Dolin and Mandy Rose have about as much experience as any of the other ladies at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right, so they put on a not so great match. Well, that's been going on. So, okay. Cool.
Who put on a not so?
I mean, I hate bring up the obvious people. Like, Tamina is not that good in the ring.
Oh.
Dana Brooke, she's not that good in the ring either.
Yeah, they've definitely given Dana Brooke a little more ring time. I think that the decreased bulk has helped her in ring work. Still not great.
No. Like her character work, that whole stuff, and then saying she wanted to be a double champion, all that. I was like, that's pretty good stuff. All right. And now apparently the 24/7 championship's gone. So that's the last of that one.
Oh, well. I mean, whatever.
Can I be dead serious, though? If the 24/7 title is gone, Drake Maverick still works there, and R-Truth clearly still works there. If they're going to retire the title, they can't just make it disappear. Then someone needs to get it off Dana Brooke. Someone needs to get it off Dana Brooke. And then for the last time we ever see it, it's just Ron Killings and Drake Maverick fighting off into the sunset. Like literally the lights just fade on it and you never see the 24/7 title again. You don't see Drake Maverick again because he's a producer. And Ron Killings can just be like, "Damn, I can't find my title."
Yeah.
Crawls across the screen. That's it.
Ron Killings was on the list of what I saw some report, I want to say it was late last week, that it's just like, not everyone's happy about the Triple H change. And I'm like, I don't, as much as I love R-Truth, is he a Triple H guy?
I can't imagine Hunter not loving him. Because he's been a goofball for years now. But don't forget all that serious stuff he did with The Miz when they were going against The Rock and John Cena.
Uh-oh.
He can turn it. He can turn if he needs to be. The guy doesn't look like he's almost 50. So
I believe he's over 50 now.
We've done this before, and I know I'm going to probably give out the same shocked reaction.
Oh, 70. Oh, 72. He's only. Okay, he's just 50.
He's 50. He only 50, so good for him. The crowd loves him. Don't forget that wedding, that wedding angle where everyone was like saying what and booing or whatever else. It's like, come on, man, you're making me look bad. And the whole crowd goes, oh, truth. And then it starts getting into the segment after that. That's respect. So, yeah, there's plenty R-Truth is still going to be perfectly good with. So,
yeah.
Even Brock Lesnar wanted to work with him. So right there. Right there. Enough.
Enough said.
Yeah. Brock wanted to work with him. He's like, oh, I think there's money with this. And Vince's like, no. Like, I'm sure R-Truth's probably like, yeah, that's cool. I'm 50. I don't need to be taking German after German. So, but no. So, that's an easy way to get rid of the 24/7 title. And as goofy as the whole thing's been, that would be fun. Just disappear off into the sunset.
Yeah, that would be a fun way to end things if they did something like that.
Yeah, but the NXT thing, okay, there's a lot of people.
Oh. Yeah, Escobar, did you think there was someone else that would get called up before we get to the Nikita Lyons, Zoe Stark stuff?
I guess Bombbreaker, but no, that's not going to. I cannot remember who I had in mind, so it's no big deal.
Okay.
But yeah, I really like that sit down. And listen, I still don't really like the Tony D character, but you know what? Those guys, they're selling the shit out of this.
Oh. Yeah. And I guess that's what it, for me, it's all been in the selling. Like, they've really run with these. As dumb as the gimmicks are, because I even think that the Santos Escobar stuff's been kind of Tony D'Angelo adjacent, at least. Like, I don't think it's been quite as bad, it's quite as Goomba in Mexican spirit is the Tony D stuff, but you know, it's been not great either.
No, but this is clearly a Jeremy Borash thing. It's just like the Hardy stuff. He was one of the guys that created the Hardy stuff.
Yeah.
You can tell he has a vision for it, and these guys are buying into it. I mean, they show up in a park, and all of a sudden there's just a table there. Why is there a table there?
Especially a table with a tablecloth on it, I think.
Yeah, because there's a table there. That's why. Apparently Santos Escobar has a yacht. Did we forget about that? Exactly.
That would have been great if he would have pulled up to the meeting in his yacht instead of a car.
I don't know how they could have done that, but yes, that would have been.
I mean, they seem like they were out on the coast there somewhere.
Yeah,
or at least near a body of water. Maybe I shouldn't say on the coast.
Yes. Wait a minute. Was there a parking lot attack this week?
A
parking lot segment?
Just on Raw.
Did we break our streak of bad parking on NXT?
I think we did break the bad parking lot incident streak on NXT. Oh,
man. Really? It's been every week since 2.0. Almost every week that someone's parked their car horribly. Or had to get parked their car horribly because they got attacked. I swear they had to be something. The obvious, the other obvious name to get called to the roster is Carmelo Hayes. But no, not yet. It's okay.
He's another guy where I won't be shocked when it happens at all. I could see him using some more time in NXT before getting called up.
Yeah. Yeah. Not too much longer, though.
Yeah.
I think it's easy for us to say, like, oh, he should be called up. Well, you call up, then whose spot gets taken? Because there's a lot of people still not making TV. And the Triple H is adding people. And apparently the big rumor now is that it's really possible Bray Wyatt's coming back.
Yeah, and I mean, it honestly, it was kind of interesting that we have a Sasha Banks and Naomi sighting this week, especially with, or was that last week that they were with Trish Stratus? And then they weren't in the women's tag team tournament at all?
I get the feeling at the end of this tournament, they show up and are like, "We're the champions. No one beat us." So I get the
Yeah.
feeling that's how that's going to go, which is very, it's a very good idea. We've seen it in the past and it works. And there you go. I mean, that's how we got our, well, the famous Razor Ramon Shawn Michaels ladder match. Because they were both Intercontinental Champion. So yeah,
Oh.
so.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that idea floated before asking the question. And it does seem like a fairly logical choice. And yeah, I wasn't really surprised because you're talking about in regards to the call-ups. To me, it wasn't a complete shock when they had Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark. I'm like, oh, so the two women they think that are closest to the main roster are getting in, are being thrown into a tag team for this thing. My assumption is they're at least going to get a win, I would think, before bowing
Who do they
out.
face? I don't remember who they face though. I mean, you know, that's always what it's dependent on
Yeah.
is who's going up against. But I, again, if you're having a tag team, it's like if you're having a tag team tournament, why the hell wouldn't you just pull Toxic Attraction up?
Oh.
You know, like, okay, there's nothing left for them to do. Except JC Jane went to a record store because she's a hard rock or rock and roll, which I can't stand that. It's cringy when someone says that. I live a punk rock lifestyle. You know who lives a punk rock lifestyle? The people who actually do. And they would never say that. It's an explanation for like dummies, essentially.
Yeah,
JC Dolphin is
unfortunately,
drowning her
there's
sorrows drinking.
too much of that in wrestling in general.
Yeah. I'm a rock and roll star. Oh my God. Sure.
They do need her and Gigi kind of need characters, honestly, other than just being sidekicks.
Yeah, no, I didn't mind that part of it. It was just like it's the gross explanation of it. It's
Oh.
always like it's like that's my big thing with like when someone says something's funny, and you see somebody like their last name is Lays, and someone holds a shoe up to them, and you're supposed to laugh, you know, shoelace, right? Well, a dummy would get that and go, okay, that's not funny. But then they'd be like, eh, shoelace, and explain the joke. If you
Yeah.
have to explain it, it's not funny. If you have to explain something, if you have to explain something, you're taking the viewer's attention, you're taking the viewer's estimation of what you've just given them away. So you've made them not be engaged with what you're watching. Like, I see JC Jane at a record store looking at, oh, she's looking at Guns N' Roses, oh, Metallica. I'm like, oh, okay, she likes rock music. Or she likes old rock music, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so it's like, I get it. And, like, you go to a record store like that and you're picking out the stuff that's new. Like, whatever. As someone who's gone record shopping for 2, 3 hours at a time, I never came home with a new record. You're always trying to find like the old stuff you can't get. Anyways. And I was like, Gigi's like, yeah, I want a drink. And then, of course, throws it on the ground like a dickhead. And she's leaving the bar. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. So, she can do no wrong. Doesn't matter. So.
Yep. Do not waste the alcohol.
No. I don't. She can waste whatever she wants. We leave her alone.
Yeah.
But
That was one that I did have to YouTube the viewing. I was a little bit surprised that it hit six rounds, honestly.
They started with boxing glove. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, I guess I thought it was supposed to be different disciplines, honestly, that
But they
they were
never.
wrestling in, but that never was really the case. I
But
don't.
yeah, they never explained it. Because then all of a sudden, he only has one boxing glove on after that. And it's like, what am I watching? And then once they got rid of it and went to wrestling, I was like, okay, it's pretty good. Like, Trick Williams, a long ways to go.
Oh.
Wesley does not. It was just weird. So.
Yeah, Wesley has a good, despite his fairly youthful age, he has a shit ton of experience.
Yes. Yeah. So. I don't know. NXT was fine. I'm
No.
curious to see what comes up. Yeah, Grayson Waller made an appearance at the end, right?
Yeah, 'cause he had a talking to with Apollo Crews.
That's right. Okay. I don't know. I think Grayson Waller may work on the main roster, but he's kind of like a Miz with an accent, though.
Yeah, I mean that's quote unquote his biggest problem. I have been just amazed at how many times they've given him wins and they've been cheap, but it hasn't been because of his cheating more times than not. It's because something else happens around the match. Like, because, yeah, I mean, when Trick Williams hit Wesley the first time, like, that was just an example of another slime ball win by Grayson Waller, and they keep on doing it, and it's impressive how many slime ball wins that man has gotten over his career already.
Okay, I don't mean to switch subjects, but I just remember this, and I'm actually totally looking forward to this next week. Like, NXT's won me over with the absurdity of how dumb it is. They make no apologies for it.
Oh.
So, one, Wendy Choo attacking Tiffany
Oh.
Stratton. Remember when Randy Orton did that and beat up the Legends? He was a bad guy. Wendy Choo is supposed to be the good guy. You're not supposed to sneak in and beat somebody up. But
Yeah,
whatever. Like,
that was
as
kind
long
of weird.
if it gets her away from that stupid shit she does, I'm fine with it. And just let her be good, because we all know she can be.
Oh, yes.
And the other one, and I'm very much looking forward to this next week. Who's the tall? I'm thinking he's Indian. He was Grayson Waller's bodyguard.
Oh, Sangha.
Yes, he's taking the two Brazilian chicks on a retreat.
Oh.
That's gonna be a nightmare to watch, and
Oh,
I can't wait. I can't wait to see this. Those two are not good. They can't act. I don't care what anyone says, they're not good. I can't wait for this. That guy seemed okay. He doesn't embarrass himself in the ring. He talks just fine. We don't understand what he's saying, whatever you want to
yep.
call it. So I'm like, maybe he's got potential. And then they saddled him with being, what are you, Maharashi?
Yeah,
Maharaja?
it's so weird. Well, just because he's kind of like, well, yeah, he was with Grayson Waller, but then he's kind of a good guy, I guess, without ever really turning on Grayson Waller for the most part.
But he helped Wes. No, Grayson Waller blamed him for something, and him and Grayson Waller fought, and he beat him. And then
Oh.
Remember, he beat Wes Lee, but then got, like, from that.
Oh, but then he made friends with him, yeah.
Oh, I forgot about Zion Quinn. Maybe he could go to the main roster.
Yeah, I'm not sure about his wrestling skills, but again, that's another one where definitely a Vince guy look.
I was just going to say that.
I would think that Triple H would still like him. I mean, he still does have a unique look. And it seemed like he was okay in the ring. I'm not going to really write an essay on it because I haven't seen enough of him one way or the other.
Well, it seems like he should be on the main roster after losing that match to Apollo Crews. It's like, no, I'm main roster material. All right. Beats him. He's like, well, I guess I'm going to the main roster now. Like, see, I told you. But, yeah, but I'm really looking forward to this retreat because it's going to suck. So, unless Jeremy Borash gets a hold of it, it's going to suck. So.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, but no, that's the big thing. And, like, just to translate over to the regular WWE show, we're still in that holding pattern. Waiting for the show to get better, waiting for Triple H to put his stamp on it, and he's slowly doing it. But
oh, yeah, like you said, like it's not going to be completely overnight. They're still kind of working within, like you said, they're still working within Vince's framework for the most part. And yeah, like why would you? And to kind of get, and I feel like you brought this up early on the show, that why would you make that major change right now? You're past SummerSlam. Survivor Series is your only quote unquote major pay-per-view left for this year. And I mean,
Clash at the Castle? They sold 60,000 tickets for that. So doesn't that auto, and it's going to have Roman Reigns on it. So doesn't that automatically make that a big show?
Yeah. But that's another one, though, that, I mean, Triple H kind of has a short shelf to get the product there. Like, how much can you really change? Because isn't that only, like, a handful of weeks away?
It's the end of September. No, I'm sorry, it's September 3rd. Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple weeks.
So, yeah, 3 weeks is not really enough time to go, oh, we're just completely overhauling everything. Like, he seems to at least be steering the ship a little bit differently than Vince would have. But also, you know, he hasn't gone, like, oh, fuck all these feuds and just blown everything up. Like, he still seems to be at least kind of carrying on what was there to start with and moving forward.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm going to guess he had an inclination this was going to happen. But.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, well, no. I mean, the whole thing, like, all of the timing and how everything's come together, I'd be shocked if they didn't see this coming. And the fact, I kind of forgot that Chris and I were recording, and I laughed where I'm like, hold on, why is Vince McMahon trending on Twitter? And I'm like, oh, you mean they found another $5 million? Like, I felt like there was a contingent out there where it's just people were still going, well, when Vince comes back, if those numbers keep on climbing, it seems like 20 million might be a little too high for everyone involved, honestly, at this point. Or what?
Well, I think
the number was 19.6, technically, that I saw.
Yeah. Well, and now they're saying that this last one was 5 million they found. And
yeah,
that's the exact amount that they donated to the Trump campaign or something. So, oof. I don't know, like, what legal shenanigans that has. especially because it wasn't claimed as a company expense, and it should have been. So, I mean.
Yep. Not looking good for old VKM here.
No,
making a comeback. But just because they're finally looking into it, it just, everything feels like they saw, from Stephanie taking a step back to, honestly, even it felt like Triple H's prolonged absence from actual job duties. I'm not saying he didn't have a heart event. I believe that's what they called it, right?
Then he went into detail finally, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not really disputing that, but I'm just wondering if maybe he could have come back to work a little bit earlier, but they, both him and Stephanie, saw this train coming, and they're just like, yep, we're just gonna bide our time here a little bit, guys. We know that you're grumbling a little bit. But the wheels are in motion, and we're just, you know, we just need to sit back, relax, and wait for this to take hold.
Yeah, I think like we were talking about last week, and like even this week, the camera work has gotten better. There's still some bad stuff.
Oof. Yes.
You see wrestlers doing other things, especially Friday. Ricochet was pulling out stuff he didn't before, so I was like, oh. And, you know, the stories I've read is like, you know, there's more. He's given the wrestlers more leeway with their promos, leeway with their in ring work, so that the agent is more of somebody going, all right, so here's what you did right and wrong. We can correct, we can fix. Here's some ideas. Instead of, all right, so this is what they want you to do. You know, you're giving the artists back their brushes, if you want.
Oh. Yeah. So,
with an editor or support system, I guess, is a better way of looking at it. Which is good, because if every match is the same, that's why they're boring. So, but yeah, it's going to be a long time for real significant change, and I'm fine with that. It's a weird thing, though, because some people are going to be out of jobs eventually because of this. And my first thought was, is Ezekiel gone? Owens mowed him down.
I'm wondering if that's gimmick change back to Elias.
That's what I was wondering too. It seems like the obvious thing to do. He can avenge his little brother and drive Kevin Owens even more nuts. But it also seemed like they were making Kevin Owens a did you hear that, by the way?
No. No, there was just a little fluff in the audio there, and did not hear exactly what that was that preceded.
All right, so I've got my big gallon water jug now, and because it's obscenely hot in the gym, I lost 6 pounds the other day while I was working out. So I'm making sure I'm drinking water because I was supposed to be training for something in September. But that's not happening because I hurt my back last week, so that's off the schedule. But so it's got words of encouragement on it. First off, so it says at 8 a.m. ready to go, 10 a.m. have some more, noon keep drinking, then halfway every 2 hours, halfway bravo, keep it up, almost there, and at 8 o'clock you got this. So anyways. I got it because it was purple and it was pink and turquoise, and it would bother everybody. So, but it comes with it, like, if you seal it good enough, it's pretty tight. So you pop open this thing, and you're supposed to suck on this little rubber thing, like a giant straw. Well, it takes you forever to drink, which I think is the purpose of it. So I popped it open, and it's pressurized. So, you know, if you blow in the straw, air will pop out of the hole next to it. Well, when I opened it up, it just shot water everywhere like a geyser. I don't know why that happened, but then it just started making like wet asshole or wet pussy sounds. And my 12-year-old mind just went, this is the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen or heard, whatever. My water jug is farting.
Well, I think that's as good a time as any to call a halt.
Sorry, Elias. I forgot. I do have one question for you. Have I ever asked you to go get ice cream at like 9:30 at night?
Weird question to be asked.
Yeah, I already know the answer.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. I just heard something funny. And I just... Yep. So, I'll tell you off air.
Fair enough. I'm going to take it since you have a...
It's not like something two straight men do. it's clearly a cover for something. So it'll make more sense off here. So.
Fair enough. Since you have a jug of water making asshole noises, I'm gonna assume that you do not have a beer.
I did drink a ciderita from Red Clay. I did have one of those.
Oh, okay. Well,
very good. Very tart.
Fair enough. I believe I either got this one when I was back in Altoona, or my younger brother gave this to me. It's from Levante Brewing Company that's in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Some people call it Bestchester, Pennsylvania. Cloudy and cumbersome New England style IPA. It is quite delicious. For having sat in my fridge for probably longer than most people would advise. It's just Mosaic and Idaho 7 hops. Not as crazy citrusy as some of the beers that I really love. Still quite tasty, though. The Mosaic hops do give it a nice little bump in that direction. But not overly so, like a lot of New England style IPAs. So that is my bell time beer of the show from @DeFrango11. His suggestion was from @GrannyMaze. The brand is @StuntGranny. Write and review us at Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
There you go.